This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. If you tried to fly anywhere in the past few days, you know that air travel has been an absolute mess in much of the country, and especially on the East Coast. Just today, nearly 100 flights out of Logan Airport have been canceled. That's in addition to dozens of delays.
Yesterday, airlines canceled 4,400 flights in all. JetBlue, Logan's biggest carrier, made an even more dramatic decision. It canceled all of its flights in and out of Boston, New York, and Newark between 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon and 10 o'clock this morning.
Whitney Pyatt from Charlotte, North Carolina, was supposed to start a new job in San Francisco tomorrow, but JetBlue told her that this coming Saturday is the earliest it can get her to the West Coast.
I don't really know what to think of it. I'm just kind of stranded. I don't know anyone in Boston. I don't know what to do at this point.
All this chaos on the runways comes amid new rules from the Federal Aviation Administration to prevent pilot fatigue by reducing their working hours.
So joining us now to talk about those new rules and all these flight cancellations and delays is Patrick Smith. He's a Somerville-based airline pilot, an air travel columnist, and author of the Ask the Pilot website and blog on Boston.com. Patrick, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And Patrick, before we get into specific factors beyond just the weather that caused all this havoc, I want to get your general take on where this week ranks in terms of traveler purgatory. You know, was this an exceptionally rough week for people trying to fly?
It was, and it's unprecedented, really, for carriers to outright ground their operations the way JetBlue and some others have done, from, you know, basically shutting down an entire city.
Several entire cities, right? New York
in the Northeast
and Boston,
corridor, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really unheard of unless there's, you know, some sort of major blizzard or hurricane. You know, here, that's not quite what this was. What it was instead was a confluence, a perfect storm, if you will, of four things. You had ice and snow, unusual cold, and then the holiday traffic, the crowds, the New Year's Eve flyers, the New Year's weekend flyers. And then on top of that, the new FAA rest requirements for crews. These four things coming together and creating this situation. And I think to a large degree, the carriers decided to be preemptive and proactive about it and slow things down, stop the operation before it got totally out of hand.
So let's take some of those in pieces, because for you, it seems like the different types of weather can be a factor. I mean, cold alone shouldn't prevent an airline from operating, right? Of course, once you factor in snow and ice, that's different. We also had a fog problem this week. So there were different weather systems happening in multiple parts of the country.
Well, let's look at that. Ice and snow are one thing and have to be removed. Contamination has to be removed from an airplane and from the airport, the taxiways and runways, because it's potentially dangerous. Now, below zero temperatures, freezing temperatures are another matter entirely. And people think, well, you know, after all, hey, it's 60 degrees below zero at 39,000 feet. Why can't an airplane take off when it's 10 degrees? Well, it can. And this isn't about the airplanes. It's about the support infrastructure and the way the cold weather is impacting ground personnel. Ground equipment, all of the vehicles and machinery that go into supporting an airline's operation, that's where the cold weather is impacting.
And that's what happened the past few days,
obviously. Correct. And
exactly.
Again, and that's compounded, meanwhile, by you know, the holiday crowds and the new FAA rest rules all making a bad situation worse.
So tell us more about those FAA rest rules, because when JetBlue announced yesterday that it was just going to shut down operations for about 17 hours, it was almost like they were hitting the pause button. They said, we need to do some maintenance issues. We need to let our crews get rested. What was going on there?
Well, the airlines have had more than a year, I guess, to understand how these rules were going to affect their operations. Now, having said that, you never know for sure how it's all going to play out until you're actually there. And the rules are very complicated. My carrier published a guide for crew members, you know, how to understand and work with these new regulations. And the guide is 50 pages long.
Complicated.
I mean, there are rules governing flight time, duty time, layover time, changes in the rules for pilots on call, and so on and so forth. And then you've got domestic operations, international operations. It's very complex.
And these rules have been in effect for a while?
No, they went into effect on January 1st.
Okay, perfectly bad timing.
It couldn't be worse.
Exactly. So from your perspective, was what JetBlue did necessary? And why didn't other airlines do it as well?
Well, I don't know. I can't say if it was necessary. But again, carriers are these days being more preemptive, proactive, whatever you want to call it, slowing down and stopping their operations before things compound to the point where it's a total disaster. I mean, it's obviously unfortunate if you're one of the thousands of people stranded at the airport right now, but it could have been a lot worse for a lot more people had they tried to push through.
In fact, Joe Sharkey, who writes a travel column, an airline column for the New York Times, wrote today about sort of the benefit of sometimes airlines canceling flights preemptively, even in places where there isn't bad weather. And I thought this was quite interesting. He said, because the last thing they want to do is get you halfway to your destination, and then they have to put up a hotel voucher or put you overnight and give you a flight credit. So it's better for them to just stop and keep you where you are.
Right. And people need to realize, too, that airplanes don't just fly back and forth between the same two cities. So when something happens in City A, there are effects in City B, City C, City D, all the way down the line. And by cutting losses and stopping things at a certain point, you're protecting the people further down the line.
So are we unlikely to see a week as bad as this one, this many confluence of lousy factors coming together?
Yeah, it's unlikely. And I can't remember the last time there have been this many just outright groundings due to weather. It's not a happy situation for those flying. But again, it could have been a lot worse if the airlines had tried to force their way through.
So hopefully a rare misfortune, and hopefully the people still trying to get home will
Fingers
be home
crossed.
Soon. Exactly. Patrick Smith is an airline pilot. He writes the Ask the Pilot website and blog at Boston.com, and his latest book is Cockpit Confidential, Everything You Need to Know About Air Travel, Questions, Answers, and Reflections. Patrick, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, Boston's new mayor has put confronting urban violence at the top of his agenda. Three prominent activists join us to talk about what the city needs to do. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.